Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
Genesis 1 and 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. That word blessed is barak in the Hebrew. And when you really get into the meaning of the word barak, or when God blessed man, number one, we've been saying it forever that he did it on the sixth day. Amen. God finished the work. He finished the work on the sixth day. That word barak, when you really get the meaning of the word barak, it literally means that in that blessing was a curse and it was a blessing running side by side. In other words, that's why God gave man a will, because you have to make a choice. Now, I've been listening to the prophets, and I've been listening to the prophetic words and the voices of God's people, and they have been saying the same thing, that this is the year that the blessings and the curses will run side by side. And depending on what lane you are in, that's what you will receive. So you know, just like six is the number of man, six is the number of flesh, six is also the number when God finished the work. So we can be safe to say that based on this principle, that either some people are going to reap of the flesh, or some people are going to reap of the finished work. So it's very important for me to teach and emphasize being in place like never before. There is a place called there. It was highlighted in the Sunday message, in the service Sunday, about the ascent of Ziz. That was that place of bloom, that place of blossom. I've been teaching on it for how long? You know, this was a place that they didn't have to fight the battle. This was a place that they had to stand and be able to see the salvation of the Lord. So when you get in place, there's two things that happens. Number one, you have the ability to stand. And number two, you have the ability to see. Amen. Some people can see but can't stand in what they see. Some people can stand but can't see in what they're standing in. That's why the word of the Lord says you got to be able to stand and see. Come on, put your hands on your chest and say, Lord, help me to stand and to see. See, that's putting those two together. When you're in place, it gives you the ability to be able to stand and to be able to see. Should you be on solid ground, and should your foundation not be shaky, but you have to be able to have vision. You have to be able to see it, because in standing there's a waiting, and in waiting you have to be able to see. Many people, they get anxious and they try to anticipate God, because while they're standing, they may not be able to see it. But how many of you know that's when you have to be able to walk by faith and not by sight? Amen. So tonight I want to continue and teach part two on that place called there. A place called there. That's what the message was about Sunday. And I want to be able to finish that tonight. And I want to start out with Genesis, the 32nd chapter, Genesis 36, 32. Let's start at the 22nd verse. I'm reading the Amplified Version. It says, but he rose up that same night and took his two wives, his two women servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the brook. Also, he sent over all he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. The man asked, what is your name? And in shock of realization, whispering, he said, Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob or supplanter, but Israel, contender with God. For you have contended and have power with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, tell me, I pray you, what is your name? But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And the angel of God declared a blessing on Jacob there. Come on, say, there is a place called there. The angel declared a blessing on Jacob there. He couldn't have been nowhere else to get this blessing. Everything had to just fall in order, and everything had to line up with there. That place that I've been talking about for the past few days called there. This is a place that you got to understand is a place that is reserved only for you. It is a place in the spirit that has your name on it. And the Bible says, as I go on to read from Genesis 32 to the 30th verse, it says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, the face of God, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared and not snatched away. My God. Jacob was in that place called there. And Jacob named, and I heard the name today when I was walking around the house, I heard Peniel. Peniel. And I was so surprised when I began to look it up, and I found out that Peniel was Jacob's place called there. And the name Peniel literally means face of God. How many of you know that that is where your place is? When you can find the face of God. See, the place of God will cause you to find the face of God. There is no place without his face. How many of you know that this is a place in the spirit that many are afraid to go to? Because how many of you know that in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy just in his presence? So can you imagine what it's like when you get up in his face? Now, when I first got saved, did nobody talk about the face of God? I heard everybody say, God said this and God said that, and you know, the Lord told me, and you know, me coming from a heathen background and never having heard the voice of God, you know, I was getting a little funny with folk. I was like, well, I ain't heard God, so he ain't told me nothing. And I really was concerned because everybody was saying, God said, and he showed me, and he told me. And you know what? You have to be careful because it just becomes a religious cliche to put God said in front of everything we say. But you know what? I just come out of the world into God, and I needed to know if God really spoke to people, because I never heard his voice before. I just heard people say. I never heard God say. And I will never forget the first words, thank you, Jesus, that I ever heard God say was when I read or heard or picked it up somewhere that I was supposed to get on my face. And I literally put my mattress on the floor and got on my face. I thought you had to literally get in the closet on your face. Come on, somebody. Because, you know, I took that thing for real. You know, you got to get on your face. I got to, let me get on my face. Couldn't hardly breathe. Waiting on God. I'm telling you, and I just got on my face in my closet, waiting on God, and fell asleep. I'll never forget. I fell asleep waiting on God. But let me tell you what woke me up. Seek the face of the Father. I jumped up. Nobody couldn't tell me nothing. God had spoke to me. I didn't hear it here. I heard it here. My heart was beating so fast, and I was so scared when I heard God, because what had happened was people kept telling me that God wanted me to preach. I had only been saved 6 months. You know, and I was gathering. You know, you had prophetess and evangelists. I was a gatherer. You know, people say, what are you? I say, I'm a gatherer. I just gather people and bring people in. I'm telling you, overseas, you know, a lot of religious spirits. It was a lot of people. And so when God dealt with me, I was winning so many people to the Lord. I'm talking about immediately winning so many people to the Lord. But it wasn't in me, in my mind, that I was going to preach. I could just tell them my testimony, bring them to a room, and go get preachers to preach. Because we were overseas. We were in the middle of going into war. It was getting serious. We needed to know what God was saying. And you know, every time I went to go and get somebody to preach, and we ready to do our meeting, the night before they called me 3:00 in the morning and say, God say you do it. I said, no, too many people saying what God say. He ain't told me that. And you know what? When I heard his voice, God knows, it was like fire in my soul when I heard his voice. Seek the face of the Father. You know, those words, although it scared me half to death, they don't mean anything. They didn't mean as much to me then as I have an understanding now. By faith, I knew, you know, I was like, I just grabbed my face. I just started looking up the word face, okay, in the concordance. That was my first message I ever preached. Seek the face of the Father. And then as God has given me greater understanding, and as I've walked with him over the past years, and as I'm getting to know him, you know, you don't never just know God. You know, you can never get God down pat, but as I'm getting to know God, getting a close relationship with him, and you know what? One thing about God, the more you get to know him, it seems like he's further away. People never talk about that. You know, the more power you walk in, you know, God used to talk, and I'd be, huh? You know, I'd be walking around, it's like an intercom was in my head. I was like, okay, God, everybody gonna think I'm a schizophrenic. It was like an inner calm in my head, the way God was speaking to me. But the more you grow in God, how many of you know that it seems like that voice gets more quieter and more stiller? You know why? Because you have more faith. You have to believe God more. The more you grow, unto whom much is given, much more is required. You understand? So the more you grow in God, the more faith it takes to know him. Because God feels like, you know, you've been in him some time now. You know, he don't have to get in your ear every second. You need to learn some discretion. We have to know the ways of God. See, when you seek the face of God and you get in his face, you'll learn his ways. And then when you don't hear his voice and when you're not sure because you don't exactly know the word of the Lord for that minute, you will know the way of God forever. Because if you understand the ways of God, come on, somebody. I'm saying, and there is a way to be sensitive to his ways. That's the difference in being spirit-filled and being spirit-led. Because being led is to know the way. And God's not just teaching you your way to go. He's teaching you his way to go. He's teaching us his way. He's not leading your steps. He's leading his steps. You know, just like the footprints in the sand. You know, it's not just about you. It's not about your way. It's not about your destiny. It's about the destiny of God in you. You carry the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. So it's about what's on the inside of you. And the only way you're going to know this is to get in place. And the only way you get in place is you got to seek his face. Come on, say, Father, I want to seek your face. You know, many grow up seeking his hand and not his face. It says that Jacob wrestled. As we were reading, he wrestled with a man. Notice that word man is in capital. He wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And the Bible says, now listen, it says what he did, he sent his children away, he sent his possessions away, because this is a place you can't take anything with you. He sent his family away, he sent everything that he possessed away. I looked up that word sent. It literally meant to cover and to set apart and to make sound and balance. How many of you know God is calling us to be balanced? You know, it's not so much of listen to me, the balance has got to be there. See, a lot of people worry about the order. God is concerned about the balance. See, because as long as you got the balance, the order will be right. When you're able to put the family, and when you're able to put the ministry, and you're able to put God, when you got good godly balance in your life, how many of you know that the order of God will line up? We're talking about divine alignment. And this word sent, it literally means that he set apart, he covered, and he made sound every area of his life. He couldn't go get up in God's face with his children there in his heart before God. He couldn't go get up in God's face with his family in his heart before. When you're seeking the face of God, you got to come naked. You got to come clean. You got to come right. I don't know who's preaching these things about God, you know. Well, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things that you have need of, they will be given unto you. You know, and so the thing about it, when Jacob had some things, he had some issues. He had some things he had to get right in his life. And the only way he can get it right, he had to get in the face of God. And you know what? The thing about it, he said, you know what? He said, he said, and Jacob called a place of God, Peniel. He said, for I have seen the face of God. And my life has been spared and not snatched away. In other words, he was explaining the seriousness. It ain't no plaything when you're getting up in God's face. See, you just can't tiptoe through the tulip or jump up in front of God any kind of way. He said, you know, I have seen the face of God and came out alive. Amen. You know, in Bible times, there were people that came up in the presence of God and were slain. Amen. A Nadab and Abihu, you know, got up before God with that strange fire. You know, that strange worship. that God didn't recognize. And the Bible says, listen to me, God killed them at the altar. Read it. Nadab and Abihu killed them dead at the altar. That's not the only instance. You know, when you come before God, you got to come before God right. And you know, not perfect, but with a right heart. No, not perfect, because if that's the case, Isaiah would have been slain. Because he said, God, you know, it's me standing in the need of prayer. I'm a man of unclean lips. Oh, I'm a wretched man. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. So we're not saying go before God holy and perfect. That's what will slay you. No, it ain't that you done committed adultery or you done lied. That don't slay you. When you come up before God like you right, when you can never be right before God. I say we can never be right before God. So that place in the spirit has nothing to do with your works of the flesh. Because to be honest, you know, we all fall short of his glory. Amen? So Peniel, it says that after he had this experience, and this was quite an experience, okay? Because, and I'm noticing, now I'm noticing that it says that he wrestled with the angel of the Lord until daybreak. And the Lord said, let me go, because day is breaking. You know, we've been talking about the morning, and we've been talking about the dawn, and we've been talking about the breaking of the day, and I'm just asking the Lord, what is it that happens when day breaks? You know, he wrestled all night. He wrestled in the dark time. He wrestled during the midnight hour. And God, now this angel of the Lord literally represents God. He was literally, spiritually speaking, wrestling with God. All right, now you need to really understand that it wasn't just an angel, it was an angel of the Lord. This was representative of God. He was going back and forth with God. And then God said to Jacob, look, let me go now, because day is about to break. And you know, I looked up the word daybreak. Listen to this. And it means day spring. Now we read a scripture here in Job 38 and 12. It says, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know its place? That word day spring, you know, it literally means first light. You know, there's something about the first light. There's something about the breaking of the day. There's something about the crack of dawn. There's something about when the light first comes through. It's very significant. It's very special when day breaks. And God was saying to Jacob, let me go now, because day is about to break. But guess what Jacob did? Guess what Jacob did? Jacob told God, he said, I will not. Now he's talking to God now. You can't be religious and figure this out. I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. Jacob had some kind of revelation. Where did he get it from? Come on, somebody. There are many people that they may not be in place, but they may have a revelation. How many of you know that Jacob had the revelation before he got in place? He finally got in place, come on somebody, and caught up with the revelation that he had had. Jacob understood that there was something supernatural going on in the spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There was something about the breaking of the day. There was something about tapping into the heavenlies when the first light comes. There was something about it. And so, you know, when I was reading through just, you know, I'm gonna get there, but I gotta say some things. When I was reading through, I noticed that every time Jacob got in a certain place, he named it. Okay, he went through certain things, and he had certain experiences. And as I was looking in the Bible, I was noticing that when Jacob came through an experience, he was walking in an authority where he would name the place. And I'm just wondering, do we just so haphazardly live that we're not paying attention to the places that God would, the things that God would take us through? Come on, somebody. The experiences, bad and good, that we experience, that we have enough authority to say, this is what this is, and this is what I call it. Because in Genesis, the 28th chapter, I'm going to jump around a little bit to show you what I'm talking about. In Genesis, the 28th chapter, the 10th verse, it says, and Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there overnight because the sun was set. Because the sun had went down, he got there to that place and he would not move because the light had not come. Come on, somebody. He got to a certain place, and it says, he just said, I'm going to stay here, and I'm not going to go nowhere. I'm going to remain for a little while because the sun was set. So taking one of the stones of the place, notice that they don't even name it. Come on, somebody. Because it didn't have a name yet, because Jacob had not experienced it. It couldn't be called anything because he had named it. It was just a place in the spirit. Are y'all hearing me? What I'm saying to you. It says, he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and laid down there to sleep. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood over and beside him and said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, forefather, and the God of Isaac. I will give to you and to your descendants the land on which you are lying. And your offspring shall be as countless as the dust or sand of the ground, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south. And by you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed and bless themselves. Say, and behold, God said, I'm with you and will keep watch over you. And going on down, it says, when Jacob woke up, he was afraid. He wasn't running around jumping. It says he was afraid and said, how to be feared and reverenced is this place. There is a place in the spirit, but you can't go there without the fear of God. See, a lot of folk want to get up in front of him praising him. Let me tell you something. When you're really in the face of God, I'm telling you, in his face is not the place to praise. I'm not talking about his presence now. I'm talking about his face. That when you really see his face, your heart will beat out your chest and you'll fall down on your face. And come on, somebody, you begin to hide your face because you know in his presence you're so messed up and you're so jacked up. You don't, a scripture don't even come to your mind, but all the dirt in your flesh begin to rise up and reveal to you who you really are.
Because in his face, that's where you get your greatest deliverance. Ain't no deliverance like getting in the face of God. Many people can come in the presence of God and they can leave out undelivered. But let me tell you something. When you get in the face of God, either you get delivered or you die. You don't have a choice if you're going to get free or if you're not going to get free. When you mess around and get in the face of God, in the face of God is where the fear of God is perfected. In the face of God, it's the perfect fear of God. In the face of God, you don't point your finger and you don't find fault and you don't look around you. You do like Isaiah did. You say, Lord, it's me standing in the need. I'm the one that need delivered. I'm the one that cussed. I'm the one that cheated and lied.
Jacob woke up from his sleep. And he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Surely the Lord. Come on, somebody. How many people can come to the place and not see his face? Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the opportunity. How many miss the opportunity? The opportunity is not just because his name was Jacob. The opportunity, this is what Jesus did. When he came and he rent the veil. Come on, somebody. When he came and he took the keys of hell, death, hell, and the grave, each and every one of us, not when you get to heaven. Y'all ain't hear me. Everybody waiting till they get to heaven. But there is a place called there. When you get there, your bills don't matter. When you get there, you ain't concerned about your body being healed. Because guess what? In this place, you're not looking for his hand. It's not about what he can do for you. You're not trying to see the hand of God. You're trying to come in agreement with PDL, the face of God. The place that perfects the fear of God. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. Folk that don't fear God, they're afraid to get up in his face. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about a demonically fear. This fear that I'm talking about is not demonically initiated. It's Holy Ghost initiated. There is a Holy Ghost fear. And Jacob said, my God, I've been laying here all night long. Come on, somebody. And God is in this place, and I did not even know it. And listen to this. He said, the Bible says in 28 and 17 of Genesis, he was afraid and said, how to be feared and reverence is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. He had a revelation of the gateway. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the place that'll put you directly up under alignment with heaven. We're talking about divine alignment. You know, think about it. He got a revelation of the spirit realm that there was something going on outside of what was going on in his flesh. Now note that at this time he was a swindler and a trickster, but he still got a revelation. Are y'all hearing me? Of the gateway. Say he had a dream and he saw a ladder, and the ladder was on earth, but the top of the ladder touched heaven. Come on, somebody. It reminds me of the scripture that says wherever two or more touch and agree on anything on earth,
Help me, somebody. It's already done in heaven. See, there is a ladder. There is a spiritual ladder in the spirit that comes from heaven to earth. That's why I say whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, because there is a ladder that angels are descending and ascending. That's where we get the binding and the loosing.
That's what happens when you bind and loose. Angels are descending and ascending. Come on, somebody. That's why Sisera was taken out. In Judges, the 5th chapter, the 20th verse, it says that they fought from heaven, and the stars in their courses fought Sisera. That word stars is princes. The princes in their courses. You remember Sisera and Deborah and Barak and Jael? Jael was the manifestation of the death of Sisera. But Sisera was killed from heaven. Come on, somebody. Something, let me tell you something. What happened in earth had already happened in the heavenlies, because there was a divine connection. That ladder, and it had to do with the course of the stars. Are y'all hearing me up in here? The course of the angels of the Lord. I hope I'm not losing nobody in here, because I'm not trying to get deep on you. I just want you to know, baby, that when you pray and when you prophesy and when you decree and when you declare, when you're in place with God and when you know the will of God, let me tell you something, it can't help but happen. You say the stars or the angels fought Sisera in their courses. You know, the key word is the word courses is masilo, and it means a staircase or a highway or a thoroughfare. In other words, over Sisera and Deborah and all of them in that battle, that the Bible says, scripturally speaking, that there was a staircase or a stairway to heaven. Come on, somebody, that was either binding or loosing. That's why Jehoshaphat could stand and see the salvation of the Lord. That's why he didn't have to fight the battle. Because the battle, come on, somebody, was fought not from earth, but the battle was fought from heaven. Is anybody having an understanding of spiritual warfare and the importance of that place called there? That place called there is more important. It is more than just paying your bills. That place called there is a place of authority. And I remember, and I heard the devil, you know, I heard the devil so clear. I knew it was the devil. It was demonic. It wasn't God. It was just that loud. And when I stepped into the region, I heard the devil say, "You are about to be dethroned." So I woke up binding the devil. Now let me tell you something. Do you know where I heard it at? In my place called there. See, there is a place that God speaks to me. You can look at me and look at me all in your face all you want to. You can say anything you want to say. When God speak to me in my place called there, let me tell you something. Everybody has one. And it's not where you have to figure out, is this God or the devil? It's not a place that you have to wait and see. You know it's God. It's a place between reality and it's a place between the natural and eternity. It's a place between sleeping and being awake. It's that staircase or that stairway or that interim or that place. Come on, somebody. Are you understanding what I'm saying about the spirit realm? There is a place before I wake up in the spirit that God speaks to me. Anybody here, sometime before you wake up, you can hear a word from the Lord. And guess what? You can take it to the bank because your flesh is dead.
And if it's the devil, you know it's the devil. And if it's God, you know it's God. In that place called there, you don't have to say, is it God, is it me, or is it the devil? Come on, somebody. You have a throne. That throne represents your place of authority in the spirit. If you don't have a throne, you don't have no authority. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and you have a throne. That is the only way you can have dominion. So don't be religious. Don't say you don't have what God gave you. You know, it don't do nobody no good. That throne represents your authority. That throne represents your place in the spirit. Come on, somebody. How else could you be a royal priesthood? Come on, somebody. You know, we're not just believers, we're royalty. We're king's kids. The authority that our daddy has given us. Y'all ain't hearing me. And guess what? The reason why people do not walk in the authority of their throne is because they don't use the access of their keys. You have to unlock your authority. The authority is locked up. That's why Jesus gave us the keys. He took the keys from the devil. The devil don't really have no authority. All of his authority ain't real. Y'all ain't hearing me up here. All of his authority, y'all ain't gonna hear me. Because see, what's real is that you are healed by his stripes. And you have to unlock it in the spirit realm. That's why he said, I've given you keys. I've given you power over all the power. Yes, the devil has power counterfeit. But you got the real thing. You got the genuine power of God. So if you never unlock it, you'll never tap into it. And many people don't realize the authority because they're not in a place to walk in it, because rebellion and authority can never rule in the same place. You can't be a rebel. Come on, somebody. And walk in the authority that God has given us as believers. When you walk in rebellion, you renounce your place in the spirit. You automatically forfeit it. You can still walk in power, but you're not authorized. Many operate in unauthorized power, because the only authorized power is that which comes with obedience and willingness. If you are obedient and willing, then you count. If you are a rebel, it don't matter if you're doing false signs and wonders. Come on, somebody. It don't matter. Help me, somebody, if you're preaching the house down. It don't matter. Because real authority is undergirded in obedience. And without discipline, there can be no obedience. Discipline, the reason why many have no discipline is because they don't have the ability to follow. Discipline is a root word for disciple. To be disciplined, how many of you know that very few people can discipline themselves? Very few soldiers can train themselves for war. Very few athletes, I don't care how good an athlete you are, every good athlete needs a coach, because your flesh don't want to do the ultimate. That's why you need a drill sergeant to push you. That's why you need a coach to push you. And that's when ultimate discipline kicks in. When you have somebody to enforce it. And the reason why we don't have enough folk walking in discipline, because they haven't
submitted to enforcers. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. Somebody that's going to make you do what your flesh don't want to do. Is anybody hearing me up in here? That is what the body of Christ, Christianity, is missing more than anything else. You know, some of the cults and the covens, they go too far. But we don't go far enough. We don't have enough discipline. Anybody that you see walking in the authority of Jesus Christ, they are well-disciplined people. They have order in their lives. Come on, somebody. Where there is no order, there is no authority of Jesus Christ. Help me, somebody. The government was upon his shoulders. How many of you know government, it means everything in the kingdom? And many folk don't want to hear words like kingdom and government. They want to hear member. Come on, somebody. A social. A fellowship. It's all right to fellowship. But some of our fellowship has become fatal. Because our gathering has been with no purpose. Because the Bible says, wherever two or three gather in my name, I'm in the midst. And wherever two or more touch and agree in my name, it shall be done. We got so many people coming together and they're agreeing, but they don't know how to touch and agree with that ladder. Come on, somebody. The one that's touching the earth and then touching the heaven. I don't want to touch and agree with you if you can't touch and agree with that ladder. I'm talking about the one that got the angels on it that's descending and ascending. Then you have the power to bind. Then you have the power to loose. And whatever you forbid, you say, no, that's not so. It won't happen. And because you're not selfish and self-motivated, and you're not abusing your authority and misusing your authority, but you would even use the authority that God has given you with great discretion. You won't cast your pearls to the swine. And you ain't trying to run and pray for everybody. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. Everybody don't need a blessing. Some folk need to be punished. You ain't gonna hear much preaching like this, but this is the God to honest truth. Some folk need to be punished. That's why the apostles termed Hymenaeus, remember that name, and Philetus, I think his name is. I know Hymenaeus and one other guy, Philetus. The apostle turned them over to Satan. How many of you never heard of that scripture? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you never, raise it high. Come on, I need to see it. I need to see, raise it high. You see what I'm saying? Because we ain't looking at that in our quiet time. Those are face of God scriptures. When the apostle, when the preacher, when the man of God would take a person and turn them over to the devil so that their soul would be saved. Do that make sense? God knows sometimes it seems like I preach hard all the time. But I wonder, is it anybody that want to live right? It says they fought from heaven. They fought from heaven. The ladder touched the earth and the top of it reached heaven. And the angels was coming down and going back up. It was a thoroughfare, a staircase. You know what? And one of the definitions for that course or the courses of the angel was turnpike. You know the difference in a turnpike? There's a price you gotta pay. You know, it's different than a highway. Because guess what? When you come down this highway called the turnpike, and guess what? This ladder is called a turnpike. In other words, there's a price that must be paid. It ain't free like a lot of folk preaching. Jesus only paid the price for you to do it. Come on, somebody.
I
know some folks say it's already done. Yes, it is. Come on, somebody. In heaven. But God is raising up people that's going to be able to bring heaven down to earth.
Oh, yeah, that's the anointing that he's bringing on his people in the last days. The anointing, come on, somebody, to bring heaven down to earth, to bring what is in the spirit realm into reality so that eyes will see it, ears will hear it, hands will touch it, feet will walk on it, mouths will speak it, the tangible manifestation of God.
I want to bring heaven to earth. And it ain't by power and might. It's just by getting in that place called there. God asked Job. Now, when God asked Job this question, have you commanded the morning? He really was getting on Job because Job was, you know, trying to get sassy with God. Isn't that amazing? How you want to get smart with God? Didn't he say something, Danny, like he would not speak and Job would not answer God? Can you imagine that? Job literally told God, I'm not going to answer you. That's when God went off on him. You will speak to me. God said, where were you when I created the foundations? He told Job, he said, now, have you commanded the morning since you've been living and caused the day spring to know its place? Have you, and guess what? That word day spring is shakar. It's the same word as daybreak. The day spring that God told Job about was the same as the daybreak. What is it about the day spring? It's the shakar of God. Come on, somebody. The first light. Have you commanded? Have you plowed? That word commanded me plowed up. Have you plowed up spiritual ground? Have you commanded? When you command something, that means you break things up and plow in the spirit. Have you spoke a word that works some stuff in the spirit? Have you commanded the morning since thy days and caused and made the day spring to know its place, to the first light? How many of you know when light comes, something happened? The Bible says, arise and shine. Your light has come. You know when light comes, light represents revelation. Light represents breakthrough. How many of you know the day spring and the daybreak represents breakthrough? Come on, somebody. That's why God told Jacob, let me go. Come on, somebody. Let me go because day is about to break. God was testing Jacob. See, some of us, we let go of God right before our breakthrough. But Jacob wasn't no fool. He had been through too much. He said, no, God, I done wrestled with you all night long, and I'm going to let you go when the light come. The devil is a liar. No, God, I'm not going to wrestle all night. I'm not going to let you go until you speak a blessing on me. I'm not going to serve you 15 years and backslide. I'm not going to walk in the power and in the fire of God all these years and get lukewarm. Sometimes God will say stuff to you. Let me tell you something. To see how you're going to respond. When God tell you to let me go. No, but you don't understand. God promised Jacob from the beginning. Y'all remember the promise? He told Jacob the same promise that he told Abraham. How many of you know God's blessings are generational? And he promised Jacob. And see, God is not a man that he should lie. Help me, somebody. That's why when you get in a place and sometime it look like God ain't coming through for you, and it look like, come on, somebody, the devil want to make God look like he done lied.
And you know, everything in your life is saying, let God go. Come on, somebody. Everything in your circumstances and situation is saying, stop believing him. Let him go. You know, maybe the next time. No. I will not let you go. Help me, somebody. You better get what I'm saying. No. Come on, somebody. No, I will. No, God. No, God. Help me, somebody. This your daughter. In all respect, Lord, I ain't letting you go. Come on, somebody. Until you give me what you said you was going to give me. How many people get right to their blessing and then let go? Have you commanded the morning since you've been living and caused the first light, the shakar of God, to know its place? Does the first light know its place in your life? Come on, somebody. Have you put a demand on the spirit realm since you've been living and caused the first light of the day spring to know its place? Let me tell y'all something. Listen to me. God is blessing this house, and the blessing's going to run us down and take us over. But I have done first fruit offerings, and people have left the church because they gave their first fruit offering, and it seemed like God didn't come through quick enough for them. Y'all better hear me right here. But I want to know, have you put a demand on the spirit? Y'all better hear me up in here. See, because everything has already been planted. Everything's already been released. If you don't get it, it's because you ain't in place to get it. You can't point your finger back at God. And the first thing, let me say this to you. And then Jacob had the nerve to tell God, I ain't going to let you go until you bless me. And then God didn't get smart with him, but brought some stuff to his remembrance and asked Jacob, what's your name? And when God, come on somebody, how many of you know God already knew what his name was? God already knew he was a liar and a cheater and a swindler, but God had to bring to remembrance how he had been living. When you putting a demand on God and saying, God, you promise, and God, you bless me, and God gonna come back and say, okay, well, what about this? Don't try to pretend that God ain't got your number. God, I've been doing right. Well, why is God asking you? Come on, somebody. Don't sit up and try to pretend that you've been doing right when God is questioning you in an area. It's an area that the light needs to shine. It means there's some darkness there, and God is shining the light on your heart so you can see who you really are. The Bible said all of a sudden when God asked Jacob what his name was, he realized, oh my God, my name means swindler. My mama was a swindler. Come on, somebody. My daddy lied. Come on, somebody. Generation of curse has been coming through my bloodline all this time. And God says, I'm going to change your name. No longer shall you be called swindler, but you shall be called contender. Come on, somebody. With God. Help me, somebody. For you have wrestled with God this day and came out all right.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Or you can be her friend on Facebook by logging in at State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Don't forget to like and follow. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.